Mats Wilander, a seven-time Grand Slam champion, joining us on Brady and Price this morning with Greg Brady and Morgan Kimball. It's great to have you on. How are you?
I am very good, guys. How are you guys?
We're thrilled to have you. We're having you on a really good morning, too, when we see an 18-year-old Canadian player play like Shapovalov has. You are one of three human beings, men, to win a Grand Slam title before the age of 18. You must be able to relate to how excited we are about Shapovalov.
Yes, I actually saw the match, the whole match, live last night. I was there in about the sixth, seventh row, and I think you guys don't have to worry about pronouncing the name Shapovalov. It's going to be Dennis so soon, just like it's Roger and Rafa. This kid is unbelievably fun to watch. He really is. He's the real deal, and he is free-flowing. He moves great. He's got great technique everywhere, and the best part is that his mind is so present in front of so many people. I am so impressed.
He's waking up the country, I was going to say. Like, you were nine, I had to do the math, when Bjorn Borg won his first title. I can't imagine what that did for a nine-year-old Mats Wilander. And then all of a sudden, this amazing generation, you, Stefan Edberg, Anders Järred, later Jonas Bjorkstrøm. I can't imagine what that did for players like you watching Borg do what he did.
Yeah, it just made it much easier. I mean, he basically, he didn't clear the path, but he showed us the path, I think. He showed us that it's possible to reach dreams, but at least dream. And also, because he was such a nice guy, I think we were treated really nicely around the world, and we were respected. And I think you see that now. There's a lot of, we don't have any Swedish players anymore, so you guys are lucky, but... We all these older players from Sweden are now coaching some of the best players in the world. So I think, yeah, tennis became big because of Bjorn Borg, and I think you have the same thing going in Canada. I really do.
So, Matt, when you you mentioned that you think Denis Shapovalov is the real deal, when you're looking at a player that young who's having this much success, how can you tell the guys that are the real deal from the guys who just happen to be having success right now?
Because he's, first of all, he's controlling these matches. He controlled the match against Rafa Nadal. He controlled the match against Joe Wilfried Tsonga last night. And that's with a one-handed backhand. I mean, that, you got to be kidding me. One-handed backhand for an 18-year-old? That's unheard of, because we usually need two when you're 18. And he's just going to get stronger, and he's going to get better. He's going to get smarter. He's going to serve harder. So, but everything he does at 18 is already good enough physically to be a top 10 player, but he's going to grow. So, I mean, there is nothing stopping him except an injury or maybe people. And people could be people like you guys and me and a coach or parents that put too much pressure on him. But if you let this guy just grow without injury, I mean, we're going to call him Dennis soon, I promise you.
Your era was so amazing because, you know, youth did rule. I mentioned you're one of three players that did what you did under the age of 18, but there were 18, 19, and 20-year-olds also doing it. It's so much harder for younger players now. I mean, we talk about Roger, but Roger wasn't Roger until he was about, you know, 22 and a half years old. We weren't sure that Nadal could win anywhere except clay until he was closer to 21. That's why this is so unusual, I think, for all of us right now. And Zverev, too. There's Zverev out of the Shapovalov side of the draw, which opens it up. But those are the two players people are talking about now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, obviously, Alexander Zverev, who's the other guy, he lost last night, and he did not play well at all. So, again, Borna Coric, I saw part of that match, too. The difference between Dennis and Roger and Rafa, to be 100% honest, and maybe I should move to Canada after I say this, he's more complete. He's way more complete than Nadal was when he was 18. Nadal could only play on clay. He didn't dictate rallies from the baseline back then. He was just putting the ball back in play, and he had a great mind and ran. And Roger Federer did not have a topspin backhand early on in his career, so he couldn't play on the slower surfaces as well. Dennis can play on any surface, maybe with the exception of grass, because his swings might be too long. But because he dictates on hard courts, he's going to do the same thing on clay. He hits with a lot of topspin on the backhand side. He hits his forehand flat, and then he serves much better than Rafa did at 18. And like I said, he's one-handed back, and he's better than Rogers was at 18. So, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to reach higher heights than those two, but I think you guys got to get ready, because this guy is something completely different. the difference between me and Boris Becker and Michael Chang, let's say we won before we were 18, is that we were very mature for a 17-year-old, and Rafa was, Leighton Hewitt was, and also Denis Shapovalov. He's extremely mature on the court, and that changes everything.
And, Mats, how has the sport, like on the court, how has it changed from the time you were playing to the game guys like Shapovalov are playing now?
Well, last night on Arthur Ashe, people were actually watching Denis with their mouths open. That's how it's changed. They hit the ball so much harder. They move faster. Yes, there are points that are not as exciting because they end within one or two shots. But then you have a point that's sort of six, seven, eight shots, and they're just flying around the court. And those are the best players in the world, and it's just faster. It's harder for the fan to grasp, I think, how good these guys are, how great an athlete they are, compared to what we did live. But if you watch these guys live now, it's pretty amazing what they do.
I mean, Shapovalov said to Brad Gilbert last night, you would have heard it. He said, I'm like, this is very un-Canadian. It's probably un-Swedish to say, I'm playing outstanding right now, and I'm very confident. We're supposed to be more demure. We're supposed to be more, shucks, thanks for the compliment. And here he is, an 18-year-old. I'd ask you how much confidence played into your early success. Like, you play... So you go play Guillermo Vilas in your first ever Grand Slam, who was much older than you. Were you thinking, oh my goodness, I'm on the court with Guillermo Vilas? Or are you like, I'm 9-10 years younger than him, advantage me? What did you think?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, I think sometimes we say confidence, and I think people misunderstand what that means. Confidence, when somebody says I'm playing with a lot of confidence, that sounds that he's maybe overachieving at the moment. I think that's not true. I played with a lot of confidence when I was... in the finals against Guillermo Vilas when I was 17 years old. Although I didn't know how to do a lot of things, but I knew that I wasn't going to make any mistakes. I wasn't going to get tired physically or emotionally. And if you don't put the weight within sort of 10, 15 shots, then I know I'm in it with a really, really good chance. Because like I said, I'm not going to miss. I think that's what he's saying. He's not saying that he's playing above his level. He's just very confident right now. And I don't see any reason why this is not his middle level, his medium level. I think he can play better. Obviously, he's going to have days when he doesn't play as well, but this is not somebody who's playing, you know, 25-30% above the level he's at. He's just confident. That's it. He's playing at a high level, maybe top 10, top 20 level in the world right now, and he's confident. And when he doesn't play with confidence, he's 25 in the world.
I'd ask you this because, like I said, your tour when you played was so deep with minefields. And no, we didn't talk about a big four era, though you were one of the winningest players of your era. So was Yvonne Lendl. So was John McEnroe. But have you ever looked and thought, after you get past the big four, and though Varenka's won a few late in his career and Cilic has won, do you look and go, I don't see it sometimes? And I'd put Milos Raonic in that group, for better or worse. Do you see among that sort of John Isner, Milos Raonic, Kai Nishikori, do you look and go, man, I can't call them great just because there's four great players ahead of them. I need to see a breakthrough, and I haven't seen it yet.
Yes. I believe you can look at it both ways. I think you can say that the three, and I wouldn't even call them the great four, to be 100% honest, because I think it's based mainly upon winning Grand Slams, and it's Novak, Roger, and Rafa. And I suppose you can look at it both ways. You can say that, you know, they're the three best players of all time in one generation, or the other 97 are not.
That's it, yeah.
But... you know, I think that Roger and Rafa and Novak, that they've just taken it to the next level in terms of being consistent, not just in the slams, but every match around the world in any tournament, on any surface, against any opponent, they're there. So I think what the coolest thing about that is that they've set the standard so high that the people that would follow, I think they have to fill their shoes somehow, and it's not going to be easy. But the bar is set so high by those three, and I think that's why they are the greatest three tennis players of any generation.
I mentioned, I loved watching you as a kid. I love Stefan also. Who did the country of Sweden cheer for when you'd play Stefan? You met in the 85 Australian Open. You met in huge tournaments. Did Sweden have a favorite son? You both played incredibly classy and wonderful tennis. Did you feel like you were the villain against him?
Say again?
Did you feel like you were the villain against him ever, like the black hat guy, ever?
Yes, I did. Yes, because I was 2 years older than him, and I did everything before he did it, and then he came up on tour and actually beat me the first time out on tour when he was, I believe, 18 and I was 20. So I was kind of the villain. I think they had more trust in him because he played a bigger game. So in the other three slams, apart from the French, I think they would root for him. And at the French Open, I think that they would hope that I beat him because I had a chance to win. So, I mean, basically, we had a chance to win all the majors through a couple of different players. So I think they were pretty happy, the Swedish fan base in those days. But, yeah, they always root for the younger guy. Stefan was a couple of years younger.
We're doing it now. Hey, we can't thank you enough. We hope you enjoy the rest of the tournament. We know how special New York is to you, winning there in 1988. Thank you for doing this for us in Canada this morning.
Thank you guys so much. Thanks for calling me.